Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
A double shot. Happy New Year on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Double shot, pun intended. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of October 26th and 27th. Man, this month went fast. Again, the parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio. When a season opens or reopens, indeed calls for a new year celebration. Fall turkey season opens today. Okay, it's going to run today, and then again Monday through next Saturday. Permits are still available. Get it. Fall turkey hunting's a whole different ball game. A lot of fun. And here's the downside of it. This could be the last fall turkey hunting season for years to come. We discussed that the past 2 weeks with various guests on Rack and Fin Radio from NJ Fish and Wildlife. Permit bow season opens today. Now, your last chance to get a buck permit is tonight, 11:59 p.m. Go to a licensed issuing agent today or go to njfishandwildlife.com after hours to get your permit. Remember, DMZs 45 and 46 are closed for permit bow season. They were stocked yesterday. Chuckers for bird dog training, Assinpink, Colliers Mills, excuse me, Manasquan, Stafford Forge, Glassboro, Millville, and Tuckahoe in the central and south, Black River, Clinton, Pequest, and Whittingham up north. Chuckers, get those dog trained, bam. Bird season is going to be here before you know it. Hey, good luck to the youngsters out there in the Coastal Zone Youth Waterfowl Hunt. Hey, man, we have a really jammed show coming up. Brian Melville, 770-pound black bear. Bro, we have Hutch from the Fisherman Magazine coming on. Captain Cridelli talking redfish. And we have the Rendezvous in the Pines. So grab that cup, grab that Rebel Jam show. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Yeah, man. I've been screaming, yo, man, my voice is shot. Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
This is County Executive Denny Levinson. Help protect vulnerable adults. Make the call to report suspected abuse, neglect, or exploitation of residents 18 and older who are lacking in capacity. Atlantic County Adult Protective Services is here for you. APS will help stabilize the situation with respect for the individual and their rights. All referrals are kept confidential. See, stop, report. Call Atlantic County Adult Protective Services, 888-426-9243.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, you're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of October 26th and 27th, this glorious month. Hey, they're all glorious. I tell the lovely demon, my feet hit the hardwood in the morning. It's a good day. I don't care if it's raining, snowing, icing, whatever. But the glorious month of October, November, December, kind of a lot of hunting and fishing going on. Hey, people, you're tuned in 5 to 6 a.m. WPG 95.5 FM Talk Radio, South Jersey's number one rated talk show station. Also, WPG 1450 AM, streaming live on that slot, WPG1450.com. From 7 to 8 a.m., you're locked into 50,000 mega far-reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message on 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live 97.3ESPN.com. Download the WPG Talk Radio app or go to Spotify, Apple, YouTube, and whatever to get to the Rack and Fin Radio podcast. Okay, it's all the fur is settling, so to speak. The segment B of the New Jersey Black Bear season is going to start December 9th and run through the 14th, shotgun and muzzleloader only. The early part of the season back, the 14th through the... It's the 19th. That was bow first, and then muzzleloader and bow incorporated in the end. So let's see. 392 Bruins harvested. That's up from 331 in 2023. 22% of the tag bears. Okay, so if it hits 30, we had DEP, Assistant Wildlife Commissioner Dave Golden on a couple of weeks ago. They can stop the hunt at that when harvest figures are met as per the tag bears. And also, so that will be no extension to the hunts usually the following week. That's been the norm, but it has been one hell of a season highlighted by, I've been reading it everywhere and it's cool, but again, let the fur settle, even it out. A monster 770-pound dressed Bruin shot up there in Morris County, Kinnelon area, Smoke Rise, Newark Watershed. They're called the Bear Fort Mountain Range for a reason. That is Bruin Country by Mr. Brian Melvin. Some people I spoke to say this is one hell of a hunter. Evidently pursued this Bruin, studied it for 3 years, on and off. The bear would appear, disappear, and you talk about dedication. Had a great opportunity to talk to him on the phone the other night. Agreed to come on Rack and Fin Radio for a few minutes. Brian Melvin, thanks for joining us, man.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having us.
Sorry for a little raspiness here, just for my being my village idiot doing the shouting routine whenever I catch a fish or shoot a squirrel or whatever. Brian, this was a three-year quest, correct?
That is correct. Absolutely. I found him 3 years ago and actively pursued him up until this season.
Brian, now a chance meeting, some of the biggest Bruins I've seen cross the road. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, it was one of those dealios. Go into that, please.
So it was a chance meeting. I was scouting in that area late season 3 years ago for some other hunting and actually came across him in that general area and knew he was, you know, obviously his size alone even then was pretty unique and started to dial things in a little bit and became a little bit of an obsession. Last season, started pretty early on trying to dial him in and, and get a pattern on him, which I was very quickly humbled. He would jump around a pretty decent amount, as anyone that's chased some big bears knows that once you put a little pressure on them, they vanish on you. But he would jump from spot to spot, move about a half a mile away, and I'd have to find him again. And same thing with this year. He showed back up in May, and he was in a slightly different area. Yeah.
You saw him in May? What were you doing in May? Were you turkey hunting or something? What?
No. I was already running cameras getting ready for bear season.
Whoa. You talk about dedicated. Now, was it primarily private land he was on? Did he cross into public domain? What's the deal?
No, actually, so last year he was stayed almost totally on state land.
Wow.
And yeah, he was on state land. A lot of guys have been after him for years, not just me. Mm-hmm. He had made all of us pretty much look like fools. Last year I had him on camera patterned all the way up until the morning of opener, and then he just vanished. Couldn't find him again until he showed up back up in May. Still don't know where he went last year. I have no idea. But he showed back up this year in the general area, and then I was able to dial him in a little bit. He jumped on me once and went about a mile away again. But I was able to determine where he was with the use of cameras and some satellite baits. Mm-hmm. Put about 20 of them out in about probably a 3-square-mile area. And was able to locate where he was, got some permission on some private property.
Fantastic.
Did a lot of door knocking, and it all worked out.
Now, Brian, I understand, according to reports, this bear was a bit of a problem bear on occasion. I mean, when you're that, like you said, he's the big boss. Nobody messes with him. Did he have some interactions with humans, pets, whatever?
Yeah, so from my understanding, every time I'd be in an area that he would bring himself into, I would talk to the neighbors, and multiple people gave me reports of him damaging furniture in the backyard, ripping up jacuzzi and pool covers, going after dogs, bluffing people back up onto their decks or into their houses. Actually, I think it was a councilman of Kinnelon sent a local friend of mine a text the other day explaining that he had actually encountered that bear and it was walking down his driveway, and most bears basically walk away, and he didn't. He was like, all right, I'm getting back in my truck. I got to get this thing's not moving. So he just did not care about people. He just he knew that they weren't going to be a problem for him.
Now, Brian, I've seen some plenty of big bears in my travels up through North Jersey, where I used to live up that way through Worthington, Water Gap, Stokes, way yonder, that whole area. And I've seen some, but I used to live in Maine, so you get a good eye for bears. When you saw this one, even 3 years ago, did you say this could be a probably is a once-in-a-lifetime Bruin?
Absolutely, yeah. Once I started getting pictures, and I have thousands of pictures of him, I knew he was, you know, special. He had definitely jumped over the last couple of years and put on some pretty good weight. But even 3 years ago, he was in the probably in the sevens, and he was big then. So there was no doubt that he was a mature bear, and was definitely a challenge to chase.
Brian, did they give you when you checked in at this? Where'd you bring it? The Whittingham or Flatbrook? Which check station?
Green Pond.
Oh, Green Pond. Okay, Green Pond. You're right there. Did they? Yep. Did they age it? Were they able to give you an approximate age?
They were not able to give me an approximate age. They did determine that he had never been handled before. He didn't have any tattoos. He had no tags on him. They pulled a tooth. So I will have a follow up on this when the state gets back to me. I'm not exactly sure on that timeline. They said a few weeks, but I'll definitely that'll be an update going out as soon as I do get that. He was missing a canine. Another one was cracked in half. He was missing a bunch of teeth. They said, you know, he's an older bear. There's no doubt about it. Put an actual age on it. I cannot. I know guys have known about the bear for, I've been after him for 3 years. I know other guys that had gone after him for, you know, 6 years ago and just gave up because he just kept making them look foolish.
Brian, the reason I ask is I'm sure he sired dozens of cubs over the years.
I'm sure. I am sure. He's got to be.
And that area, too, because they do travel, like you said, I could see him. I wonder if he went to New York and back, like swam across ports to Greenwood Lake or whatever and came back.
Very possible.
Yeah, because they are absolutely all over the place. We're speaking with Brian Melville, the bow hunter, on this was October 15th. Arrowed a Bruin dressed out to 770 pounds. Right now, the skull measurements on that, that's going to be off. Would you say this? What did they give you an estimate live weight?
Live weight, yes. They gave me a rough estimate somewhere between 880 and 910, which is pretty easy. I knew he was big, but I didn't know he was that big.
Hey, Mel, listen to me. I've been to Montana more than a few times, up in the panhandle there, up by across over into Heron, Montana, that area in there, Bull River section, whatever. I haven't been there. And I've seen grizzlies, but this is absolutely probably bigger than any grizzly I've ever seen.
That's what they told me. They told me he's large for even a grizzly. So he was, when I walked up on him, he was big coming through the woods. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. And then walking up on him, you really appreciate the size that he really was. So it was something special.
Okay, Brian, down to the downside of this whole thing, the antis have been jumping up and down on you, have they not?
They have. It turned a little muddy there for a bit. You know, I'm all for people having opinions and voicing their opinions. I mean, it's what makes the country beautiful, but it got a little crazy with the threats and
the violence,
wishing harm. Yeah, that I have no tolerance for.
Brian, I have a friend of mine, acquaintances. Again, listeners, I have enemies and acquaintances. I have no friends. He's an acquaintance, a longtime ranger now, State Park Police, retired, in fact, his two sons on the conservation force. Conservation officer for us, but he had to, it was back in, I think, mid to late 90s, up there in Stokes, he had to shoot a bear that was very, very aggressive on these campers. He said, I had no choice, right there by the flapper. I had no choice. Right. The antis were threatening to kill him, his family, and his parents.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset of this thing, and it's scary.
It is. It's kind of ridiculous. It's unfortunate that people have those thoughts. It's unfortunate that people to go that way, but it's starting to smooth out a little bit now. And I've tried to get the message out that the bear is completely being used. You know, we haven't wasted any of it. We got them field dressed right away. All the meat, the fat's being donated for soap and candles and lotions. So every piece.
Yo, Melvin. Yo. Let me tell you something. Bear fat makes the best donuts, bro. Deep fried, mother of God, they're so good with the bear fat. And listen to me.
I've heard.
I will come up there personally and make you my bear brajol. How's that?
No. I love it. I love it.
Okay, Brian, I'm sure you've been asked this now. Again, it's like you're catching the 60 or 70-pound stripe or what have you, putting things in perspective. Is anything else? I mean, to me, it's a necessary question I have to ask because I've been asked this over. Is it anticlimactic to go bear hunting again after this tremendous Bruin? Or is it the love of the hunt, is it not?
it is definitely the love of the hunt. I definitely, you know, I'm a pretty picky hunter to begin with. I'm going after very select animals. So I'm sure down the road I'll find something else to chase. But I do love the process as a whole, and definitely getting thin out the population, which is needed drastically. So I'll always be a part of it.
Okay, Taxman, I had three people ask me this. What head did you use?
Sever 2.0.
Oh, man, that is a badass.
Which is mechanical.
That is a badass.
It does well.
Which bow?
It does well. It's a Hoyt Vector Turbo, which is actually an older bow. But it's my baby. I've shot all the new ones, and I just haven't found one that I love more.
Brian, you go back to it. My lovely Dee Marie, she has a diamond. Shout out to Skip Deckman when he used to have the Chum Bucket. And she's aces with that. Same thing with the one time she messed up her Librium rotator, went to a crossbow. I said, excuse me, let me get you a new one. We have this, we have that. She says, why? I'm used to my diamond. I'm dead on it. I'm used to my challenge. I'm dead on it. Why? See, she's very pragmatic. I'm one, I need the new one. I need the new one. I need the new one. I need the new one, you know? Well, Brian, congratulations on this. Best of the family. And listeners, his dog Major, his lab is rated in the Rack and Fin Radio, one of the best in North Jersey. How's that?
I appreciate that.
Brian, besides the Bruins, are you on the trophy buck track?
I am. I definitely am. I'm a big bow hunter just across the board, definitely chasing a bunch of bucks, transitioning into that now. We'll be chasing ducks and bucks for the rest of the season.
Brian, your opinion before I let you go, thanks for hanging with me here. But I always hear this, and I used to say to myself sometimes as well, there's no big bucks on public land. They're shot out between bow, permit bow, shotgun muzzle, what have you. And yet, every year it seems, you get some beautiful, beautiful big body deer predicated on part of the state, not the barrens, on public land. Like Berkshire Valley, for example. You see some monster bucks come off there.
They're out there. They're definitely out there.
But it's a matter of getting in. The 100 yards from the road thing doesn't work when you're after antlers like that.
No, you know, it's finding some of the private property that a lot of guys don't know about. There's a lot of public property out there that may not be a state park or something, but it might be DEP property or some other property that some guys just need to spend a little bit more time and find those little patches that maybe tucked in between a bunch of private, but it is public, and you can find some monsters.
Yeah, one final question back to the – I know I'm a sandbagger, Melvin. I told you that, right? Here's the last question. I promise you, last question.
Okay.
That Bruin, when you were positioned, did you say – like, did you have a feeling this was going to be the day? Did it make a mistake? I mean, because they eventually, no matter the animal, eventually makes a mistake. Like, did you have that feeling that this is it? This is the time. If it's going to be, it's going to be today?
Yeah, he had made me look foolish for years, so I was always doubting my mind for sure. Even with him walking down the trail that I had planned for him to walk down, and he had walked down for weeks previously, I knew that there was, you know, until he was in my hands, it wasn't totally sealed. He actually ended up, didn't wind me, but he cut his trail in half for whatever reason and started veering away from me. I had set up for a 22-yard shot, and he just stopped dead. Turned away, like they say, the big ones have a sixth sense. He turned away and started walking away, quartering away. And I had two windows at 45 and 50 and took it at the 45 mark. And luckily enough, the arrow found his mark. I had doubt until I had my hands on him.
Congratulations, Brian Melville. Listeners, Brian Melville, 770-pound dress Bruin. This is New Jersey's weight record, is it not? Pending?
Yeah, no, it's not pending. It is. It is 100%. It is, and again, there's a whole other thing with the weight record that's going on for the country for the world record right now. The world record is 780 not dressed, and he's 770 dressed. But because I gutted him, I might be disqualified. But it doesn't matter to me.
That's all right. That's all right. Brian, remember Bruin Brajol from Tom P. Brian Melvin, thanks for joining us at Rack of In. Best of the family. You take care, man. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
See you. Cool guy. Just an absolutely cool guy. 3 years on the chase for that Bruin. Wow. And other hunters were after it as well. Right place at the right time. That happens on occasion, but you put in that work and I'd say the odds will definitely get in your favor, but there's a little tick maybe in your direction. Grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station.
Here we go, the gap below. Back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of October 26th and 27th. It's about that time of year. It's a short window, so to speak, that the years I've been chasing them, found them quite by accident. Actually, found them at the tip of, I guess, who's patiently waiting on a line right now. The speckled trout, relatives of the weak fish, will be up, if they're not already, with the few cold nights that we had last week or the week before last, whatever. But they're coming in the Back Bay area there and in the ICW, the speckled trout. But what has been flying under the radar, a little bit of attention here, a little bit of attention there. The return of the redfish, the red drum. Now, those people say, oh, it's a climate change. Blah, blah, blah. No. New Jersey, specifically the Ocean City area, back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, into the early 60s, was considered the redfish capital of the Mid-Atlantic region. Yep, Ocean City, New Jersey. And the reds are here. You have to, they're not easy. It's not a question of just throwing out a wad of clam and hoping one comes along. Join us on the line to do some coloring of the reds. Captain Al Crudelli, based out of Sea Isle. Long time South Jersey Back Bay and out front angler. Captain Crew, thanks for joining us. How you doing, bud?
Hey, Tom, thank you. Thanks for having me.
We remember speaking the other night, and we're talking specs. You mentioned reds and reds and reds and reds. Al, we got reds here, man. We got redfish here, Crew.
We sure do. It's going to be a tad early this year, a tad late this year for the speckled trout. I believe it's the winter time for holding the way it is.
Yeah.
They've always been kind of a November thing anyway. You know, some of my best days of specs were around Thanksgiving. So winter temperature, they like the winter temperature in upper 50s.
Uh-huh.
What I know is here anyway, by my logs, it's always been in the low 60s, upper 50s for the spec. But redfish, I believe they're here. I call them as early as July.
There you go.
You know, in past years, now they're a lot more frequent than people think they are. The problem is the land based. There's not a lot of places that you can get to land based and reach them. They're kind of a boat thing here, mm-hmm. and they're definitely. I mean, they act just like they do anywhere else. I've seen schools of six to a dozen swimming around together.
Wow.
They were caught. The guys who catch them keep it quiet, Tom. That's a big part of the issue. I don't blame them. I don't blame them. You know, because like I said, there's only a few places that you can stand on firm and catch a few. The jetties are dynamite. Townsend's Inlet, the jetties are projected out the Avalon side.
Avalon,
That's where I had a lot of luck with them last year. This year I got there's a few issues going on, but there's still plenty around. Mullet guys, mullet are the key. Live mullet work real well, but believe it or not, for mine, a dead mullet cut in half. And then, now, get ready for this, guys. You have to cut in half, put it down on the deck, and gently, or under wherever you're fishing, and gently squash it so you hear it crush under your boot, okay? You want the eyeballs popping out. You want the juice oozing out of the belly, okay? Now, the only dilemma that this makes happen is that you cannot, if you wanted to drift and cover an area, then you have to use a live one under a popping cork rig, under a slider, a slide bobber rig.
Yep.
That's traditional in kind. We can add a few things to it here. As far as lures go for those, like I said, they're mullet eaters, they're bunker eaters. Peanut bunker also excellent baits for them. So paddle tails are your lures of choice. And there's a ton of them out there now. The only exception to that I noticed the last few years, the AM fishing, and fishing UV lures are dynamite. And they are, however, mm-hmm. a twister tail. They are a twister tail, Tom.
So it's a grub, that, right? You know, mentioned Twister, right, Al, but the one I caught, one of the first ones I ever caught, way back at Corson's Inlet, that shell bed, 150 yards up from the ramp, was on a Mr. Twister Sassy Shad. I was poking around for anything. I said, this is a redfish. I don't know, with Leroy, so I let it go. It was about 12, 14 inches.
Yep, that is the Corson's Inlet shell bed. It got a lot of notoriety last year, rightfully so. It's been, you know, it's an excellent fishing spot, but it got crowded. When I say crowded, I mean 24/7. Tom, there was guys there walking that beach. You know, it never got a break.
Right.
So you know, and that okay now that now that's a land that's a landlocked spot. You know, I've seen very, very few people in boats fish that shell beds, you know, or what they call the mussel beds or clam beds over there. And, you know, just it would be south of the ramp, of the boat ramp, the long walk, I call it.
Right.
But that's a dynamite spot. Inlets seem to be, the holding point. I've always wanted to try the couple of the channels, the intercoastal waterway around Great Egg, but... You know, there's a million places to try in your lifetime, but, you know.
Right.
Getting back to what to use. Poppy cork rig, everybody's kind of familiar with that. That you have three rods rigs ready to go. One with a poppy cork rig. Conditions dictate what kind of poppy cork you should use. If it's chopped up and a little rough, you would want to use something with a scoped out face, something to make the popping cork actually pop. And bomber makes a couple really good ones. You can make them yourself out of the old snapper poppers. They work also. A slip bobber rig. You can adjust your bobber, adjust your line to your presentation from the hook leader down to. From the bobber, a preset bobber stop. We've talked about this when we fished in the spring before. But, you can preset your bobber to 12 feet. You want to move your bobber stop to, say, 10 so that your bait's just above the bottom. That's a good way. Sometimes you may have to adjust if you see the redfish feeding on top, then under your popping cork rig, that would be my go-to. Under the popping cork rig, usually I use 30 inches. Sometimes 24 depends on where, you know, the depth of your feeding. But I usually have 24 inches or 30 inches of 30-pound fluorocarbon under popping cork with a there's dragon eye or red eye jig heads from, I believe, you help me out, Tom. You know where I'm
talking. I have so many jig heads, I can't even keep track. I'm using the low, no live bait needed jig heads now.
Me too. Oh, that's a great lure. I mean, I caught fish on those all summer long. Love them, weak fish love them.
Yeah. Al, you look at that tail, that little paddle tail when it moves. But, crew, let me ask you this on a redfish. Sure. He's getting up on a break pretty soon.
Go ahead.
Light conditions make a difference one way or another?
Yeah, cloudy days are the best to get them active. And like stripers, they like it a little chopped up. You know, not that you can't have a blast with them calm mornings. It's just that, you know, it's not to Florida, some of the places where you would fish for them real shallow, because it doesn't work out. You know, it's not quite that way.
Mm-hmm.
We have a deeper water on average. But and instead of oyster beds that are very available to fish like south of us, we have a lot of mussel beds. However, I mean, there is a few oyster bars, but they're leased ground around, so guys don't really want you fishing around them. But there is some, but mussel beds work really well. I mean, they find something to eat there, just like everything else around.
Yeah. Joining us on the line is Captain Al Cordelli talking. Reggie touched on specs in the beginning. He says they're going to be a little later, and that's fine. They're like a week, but you can't mistake them from a week. The same form. They're members of the drum family as well, croaker family, what have you. But they're bright silver with the big black spots. but the redfish, the red drum, are here. Now you have a one fish with a slot limit, 18 to 27 inches. Now, I know some reds are caught every year, every fall, and for summer too, off the surf. Is that a viable fishery now in the Suds?
Yeah, it is, as long as you're on a beach that just didn't get covered up with sand. See how, you know, beach punishment, you know, if everybody knows what I mean. Yep. Our beach has not been, because we just went, you know, necessary getting a beach filled. That kind of put the kibosh on the, on the fishing from the island, middle of the island south. But north of, from the center of the island north, going towards Strathmere, the beach is still productive. There's a lot of those little sedge banks up there where the guys fish for kingfish. So, yeah, they're definitely viable. And the rig to use or the bait to use is, the like I mentioned earlier, the mullet cut in half.
There you go.
You know, you can target first fish at the same time also. In that case, you would have one popping cork rig rod ready to go, a lighter lead head with the appropriate no eye bait needed, with an 8 ounce head or something like that for casting and just probing. And then another thing, in low light conditions, especially early in the morning, or a Zarastrook type of lure. I've been exposed with bites. A redfish takes your lure off the surface quite a bit different than a striper. It's not as much commotion.
No, it's what biology call that, an inferior mouth structure. It's actually below the nose. Exactly. The jaw extends over. Okay, Captain Crew, we're up against a heartbreak. Thanks for joining us. This is redfish are out there. Go give it a shot. I call it the neurotic exotic. You have one fish, 18 to 27 inches. Crew, thanks for joining us. Hope to see you in the rabbit woods pretty soon, my brother.
Yep. I'm going to pick him up. I'm picking him up here this weekend.
I shouldn't say woods. That were Crew and Jimmy, that where they hunt. It's swamp. It's brush. It's god-awful. God-awful cover. But, man, did they get these swampers? And Crew has a little baby girl coming in, little Ryder. She is going to be the swamper stomper, Crew. I have her. I figure her running rabbits within 3 months.
By the end of the season, possibly, but definitely next year, Tom.
Definitely. Okay, Crew. You take care, man.
All right, bud. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. Captain, two live Crew. We go back a long way. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Fox News, I'm Deborah Valentine. Deadly Israeli airstrikes targeting Iran's military sites in retaliation for ballistic missiles Iran fired upon Israel October 1st. IDF spokesperson and Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari.
We have both the capability and the resolve to act decisively, and we are prepared on offense and defense to defend the state of Israel and the people of Israel.
Iran says the strikes killed two Islamic soldiers. Former President Trump holding a rally in Traverse City, Michigan, Friday, outlining his economic policies, including a corporate tax rate plans.
We will give our companies the lowest taxes, the lowest energy costs, the lowest regulatory burdens, and free access to the biggest and best market on the planet.
The latest Fox News poll showing the former president with a 2-point lead over Vice President Kamala Harris nationally. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Atlantic City Electric AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, windy with periods of clouds and sunshine, gusty winds, low humidity, and dry brush will result in a high fire threat with a high of 69. For tonight, clear skies, low 37. Tomorrow, sunshine and then a few clouds with a high of 62. Tomorrow night, mainly clear and cold. There will be a freeze with a low of 30. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of October 26th and 27th. Hey, you're tuning in 5 to 6 a.m. on WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM, South Jersey's top rated talk show station. Also WPG 1450 AM, streaming live WPG1450.com. And from 7 to 8 a.m., you're locked in at 50,000 megaphone far-reaching watts of the Rack and Fin radio message. 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live 97.3ESPN.com. Download the WPG Talk radio app to get to the Rack and Fin radio podcast, or go to YouTube, Spotify, Apple, and all the other avenues, what have you, too numerous to mention, to get the Rack and Fin radio message. Badass copy of the Fisherman magazine out, the November edition. Man, this is just jam-packed. Oh, don't forget, the Kayak Clash and the Dream Boat Challenge, they end November 30th. Subscribe and get in this thing. This is I'm about the Dream Boat Challenge. You got some fish coming out of New England. I don't know, but the Kayak Challenge, definitely we got some great Jersey anglers. Could be players in that. Great lineup of articles, Anatomy of a Togger, What It Takes to Go Bigger by Frank Big Togger Maholic. Frankie, man. Get on Rack and Fin with the new season. You are already booked. South Jersey Stripers by Captain Scott Newhall, frequent guest on Rack and Fin Radio. Although someone said, hey, man, Newhall's going over to your dark side. I see he's posting a lot of stuff about trout fishing. Yes, he is. That guy is an ace. Catch and Release the Right Way by Captain Connor McLeod, and New Jersey Striper Blitz, the Wild November Surf by a great, great author, great TV show host, Nick Honoshevsky. As always, go to Hutch's editorial. This one, those stinking badges, is good. But we have Hutch on the line right now with some very intense breaking news. Able to get him this time of year, especially. The guy's like a paramecium. He's splitting 35,000 different directions. Has a few minutes to come on Rack and Fin. Spread some news about the Stripers. Jimmy, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good. I wish I had better news on the Stripers. But I don't know. So thanks for that intro. I appreciate that.
And by the way, he is the managing editor, New Jersey Delaware Bay. Sorry, Hutch. Well, I've known you for years. You were, in fact, there's a photo of you in the studio here somewhere. I got to find it. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. We've known each other for over 20 years. It's been 22 years since I started fishing. But I'll tell you, in all those years, in the last few years, we've seen more changes in the striped bass fishery than at any point before. So being the bearer of bad news this week, the ASMFC met on Wednesday in Annapolis, and they took a vote, and they're going to meet again in December, their technical committee and their specialists. But the bottom line is, in 2025, we're looking at another regulatory cutback on striped bass along the Atlantic coast. So that's the big news.
Now, Jim, is this the best fisheries newsman in the friggin' business in the continental U.S., and I even throw in Hawaii in that one, and Guam. But, Hutch, is this – chill out, Hutch. You're too humble. Hutch, you're too humble. But seriously, Jim, is this etched in stone? Is a foregone conclusion, so to speak?
Well, yeah, it is, and here's why. So it was a six-hour meeting, and you know me, I'm a glutton. Punishment. I sat through the entire 6 hours.
I
took notes and I did screen grabs. And here's why, yes, it's set in stone. Because there was a motion on a table to address striped bass. And they said, the motion said, we will address striped bass in 2025. So Mike Luisi from Maryland and Adam Nowalski from New Jersey, they say, listen, man, there's a lot of confusion here, the cyclical nature of the fishery. We don't know how the last round of cuts, it hasn't even hit the model yet. So why don't we give this a little bit of time? Let's say that when we meet again in December, we may address the striped bass in 2025. So as opposed to saying we will, Adam and Mike said, let's say we may. But when they took that motion failed. So clearly the other Atlantic states believe that we have to address striped bass right now.
The fix is in. And, sort of sounds like drastic. Look, I don't know.
They're getting a lot of pressure from their communities, from a lot of the catch and release guys. And you might have a lot of catch and release guys listening. But that's the problem right now, is that there's one segment of the community would really like to turn striped bass into an exclusive catch and release only fishery.
We know some of those people, don't we, Hutch?
I do. The problem is the recreational community is responsible for 90% of the mortality in the striped bass fishery. So the commercial guy is only responsible for 10.
Right.
So everybody keeps saying, oh, it's the commercial guy. No. That's not what the science says. The science says it's us. So if you're going to follow the science, let's have a scientific discussion. So we're going to have to address both sectors, recreational and commercial, in 2025. But let's look at the mortality in the recreational community. Roughly 50% of the overall mortality comes from catch and release mortality, and the other 50% is from harvest. So when the commission, when the ASMSC and their technical committee meet again in December, what's going to be pressurized is how are we going to figure out these cutbacks. You've got one segment of the community wants to ban all harvest of striped bass in the recreational community immediately. And then there's another side that says, what else can we do? And that the only other thing we could do is have like seasonal closures. So the choices, I think, what we're going to be looking at, because we've got 28 to 31 inch slot, and apparently that didn't work to get us where we're supposed to be.
Right.
So you can't lower that slot anymore. You have to close it. So how are you going to close it? One segment of the community wants to close it all for the harvest guy. And the other side is saying, well, why don't we just close it for all of us for about 2 weeks to 3 weeks of the season? And that's what we're looking at for 2025. And that's why it's going to get to be contentious. Yep. You thought the presidential election was ugly. Wait until we start having this debate in December.
Hey, listen, from 2008, I still have my Bar Root sign in my closet.
Dude, what is it?
Bar Root, remember? They ran as the Libertarians?
Oh, yeah. No, that's right.
Hutch, but let me ask you this, though. When I hear this, and you're on top of this, people, like, you can't believe the guys. But I look at and then I talked to Captain Richie Falcone. Shout out to Richie and a lot of boats up there now on the Golden Eagle. Jim, the photos of these multitudes of bass being caught and gently released, and they're all swimming away. I find it tough to, the bigger they are, the more delicate they are. But I find it difficult to believe that the mortality rate is that high and that the fish are in trouble when you see that many fish that big.
So let me hit you with that. So here's, because I'm not telling you this data is wrong. I'm not telling you this data is right.
Right.
But what's happening is we have to reach a certain target spawning stock biomass, 235 million pounds. By 2029, that is the fishery management cycle right now. That the striped bass fishery has to be rebuilt by 2029 with 245 million pounds of big fat striped bass. Right now, according to the data, continue to fish at the level we're at now. We're not going to hit that deadline.
Okay.
Would we hit it by 2035? Yeah. Would we hit it by the deadline? No. And they're deadline specific right now because a certain segment of the community says, oh, we got to do it in the deadline. So the next big benchmark assessment of striped bass is coming in a year or two. And at that point, we could be looking at adjusting the time frame or the goal. But right now, they can't do that. So the other big component, Tom, is that a few years ago, it's not like I did this. Just that we're all in this community together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And ASMFC decided that the 28 to 31 inch slot limit was going to protect the robust 2015 year class and allow them to get big. Well, that theoretically worked. They did get big, but there's not enough other big fish in the pipeline to support reaching that spawning stock biomass target. And the next class of fish is 2018. So what the ASMSC voted this week, they said, we don't think that you guys are going to have a good season in 2024. So we think your numbers are going to be down. Well, cool. That means you don't have to address any cutback. No, but they said, no, predict it. Once the 2018 year class enters the sweet spot next year, you're going to have a great season in 2025. That's why we're going to cut you down now. So think about that. They're acknowledging that our striper fishery in 2024 isn't really very good, but they think it's going to be so good in 2025 that they're going to cut it back in advance. And that's where we're at.
And there we go. The preemptive striking. Jim, before I let you go, real fast, not putting you on the spot, your opinion, you've been at these meetings for, like you said, 22 years, whatever. And I don't know if there really was one back in the mid-80s. Is the M word a possibility?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is. And the reason is because there's a whole segment of the community pushing for it. You know, listen, I don't know how many of your listeners are coming down from Pennsylvania for the weekend, right? If you're from Pennsylvania and you're here in South Jersey this weekend looking for the bite, I want you to know something, that Pennsylvania has a delegate on the ASMFC on the striped bass management board. New Jersey's delegation voted against it. Whether you like it or not, New Jersey said, no, we can't do this. Pennsylvania's voted for it. Pennsylvania wouldn't allow them to be more flexible, wouldn't use the language may instead of will. So if you're from Pennsylvania and you're here and you're complaining about New Jersey regulations, I want you to take that back across the border, find out who your ASMFC delegate is, and tell them that you're angry and you don't want a moratorium.
He's probably buddies with Fetterman. Oh, you didn't hear me say that.
Listen,
sorry, I had to slip that in.
We're getting ready for a big Donnybrook. And people are mad at me for even reporting it. But the fact of the matter is, I'm going to stay in the middle and I'm going to tell where both sides are wrong. And that's where we need to be. We need to all get together and figure this out, because there are some people calling for a moratorium.
Yeah.
Because they also want to be able to catch and release during the moratorium.
Right. 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 There you go.
But there's your mortality figure. So what do we want? What do we want out of this fishery? That's going to be the next step. But people, listen, I appreciate you plugging the November edition. I'm going to write this all up for the December edition. So by December, you should know what we're looking at when the ASMSC gets together.
The fisheries news man extraordinaire. Hutch, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin this week. And you take care. Best of Michelle and the kids. And get out of the water, man. Do some fishing yourself. You're so freaking busy. Do some fishing, Hutch.
As soon as I hang up the phone with you, I'm hitting my side banks. See you later.
Talk to you later, man. Yep. Changes in the stripers coming. Ain't going to be good. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's talk station. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back for our final segment. Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Final weekend of October, October 26th and 27th. There's a lot of stuff going on in our glorious month of October into November, into December. And before you know it, the days will be getting longer. One event next weekend, November 2nd and 3rd, Saturday and Sunday. Fantastic event. Been going to it for a few years, and I make it a point, no matter what my schedule is, psycho, to get there at least for a couple of hours and maybe five or six or seven or eight sandwiches or whatever from the great food trucks they have there. It's the New Jersey Fur Harvesters Convention in the Pines up there at McKay's Blueberry Farm, Russ Anderson Boulevard, in beautiful section of New Jersey, Chatsworth. I'll tell you what, these are trappers. You have hunters there. It's going to be an even bigger event this year. This is the creme de la creme, the true, when you say someone's an outdoor person, an outdoor enthusiast, this crew that's there, I think there's going to be 25, 30, maybe probably more vendors. This is the nuts and bolts, the real, real wildlife people in New Jersey. And you hunt, you fish, that's fine. That's one thing. Trappers, fur takers, entirely breed unto themselves. It's fascinating, just absolutely fascinating, and a great time. And joining us online right now, give us a few minutes on it, is Ronnie Deal. He is the president of New Jersey Fur Harvesters. And yes, Deal, I'll be back for yet another visit and a raid on that food truck. How you doing, man?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm fired up. I can't believe it's here already. It just seemed like we just left. And I had such a great time. Listen, it's one of those things you want to get. You have to get there fast. You only have so much time, and you hate to leave. And one run, I have to re-up my membership. But you have some sort of even bigger event this year. Looks great.
Yeah, I got quite a few people lined up to come. That's for sure.
Ron, the demonstrations alone and the knowledge. You talked to Ronnie Jones from ACP Outdoor Products. And guys like that, Newt Sterling, and these mentors, these legends in the New Jersey outdoor scene, and also listeners around the country, Newt and Ron and several other people there give seminars around the country. When it comes to knowing wildlife, being part of nature, understanding the balance, these are the people you talk to. Their experiences are unbelievable. And tell you, Ron, you have a great lineup here. Listeners, you got trapping, skinning, and fur handling demos and seminars all day. There's camping on site now for Saturday night. There's porta potties available. This is as close to remote camping as you're going to get. Trapping and hunting supplies and fishing supplies for sale. Hey, Deal, who's the kid with the crappy jigs last year?
Jack. His name's Jack.
Let me tell, listen, let me, I see this little kid there right now, little kid. He's about 10, 11, 12, whatever. He has a table for us. These jigs looks badass, man. How much? And he gives me a price. I said, come on, man. This is the last day of the show. What do you got? Give me a show special. He looks at me. He says, the price is the price. I said, come on, kid. Don't you know anything about working at the show? He says, the price is the price. Okay. Okay. So I tried to strong arm the kid a little bit. Hey, money was tight. I had to buy one more pork roll, egg, cheese, and burger and whatever before I left. Ron, those, I brought a couple of those jigs. They are the cat's ass, not only on crappies. I caught trout with those. I caught largemouth with those. He's going to be there again, correct?
Yes, he'll be there.
Okay, tell him I'm coming with a fistful of dollars. Okay, Ron, getting everyone together for this, it starts once the event ends, and you just have a great, great event scheduled.
Yeah, like I said, Tom, we got a lot of people coming. The demos alone, we got a guy there. He'll be there all day putting up fur, skinning, mm-hmm. and fleshing. And we got a guy doing muskrats from start to finish.
Wow, yeah.
Of course, Rednecks Pride Outdoors, they're going to do a demo on the collarum trap.
Mm-hmm.
And also predator calling.
See, that's another thing, too. So predator hunting in Jersey, it's slowly but surely, Mr. Deal, gaining in popularity. And again, you get some of these coyote furs back, January. They are absolutely gorgeous. And it's a great stuff for sale. Really novelty stuff. All natural. I mean, it's a natural. Hey, listen, is Warpath Archery going to be there?
Yes. I talked to him yesterday. They'll be set up as well.
Listeners, it's going to be New Jersey Fur Harvesters Convention in the Pines, November 2nd and 3rd, Saturday and Sunday next weekend. If you get a chance, you're going to be out that way. Even if you're not, you need something to do on a Saturday, Sunday, especially if this beautiful Indian summer weather continues, though we do need some rain. Get out there. It's a great event, plenty of free parking, and you're going to see and meet people there that are just, like, this is the true. Okay, nothing wrong with, you hunt two or three times a year, you buy a pheasant stamp, whatever. These are people who are up and out in the field at 4:30 in the morning, and at night they're skinning till 11 o'clock at night. Ron, the trapping fraternity is such a unique creature in and of itself.
Yeah, it's growing too.
Oh, so. Numbers are coming up? That's good.
Yep.
And Ron, one last thing before I let you go. For more information on this, who's the contact?
You can contact me. My number is 908-783-3090.
Okay. Now, Ron, how long have you been trapping, Deal?
I was introduced to trapping when I was 8 years old, and I'm in my 50s now, so.
Wow. God bless you. Like I said, I was into it back in the late 70s through the mid-80s, and this once abandoned a lake hole. Then life, profession, whatever got in the way, and I gave it up for the simple reason, if you can't give it, listen, not like casual deer hunting or whatever, unless you can give it 100%, you don't do it. Would you agree with that, Deal?
Yeah, it's a little bit of work. You gotta do your stuff every day. You can't just take a day off.
Okay, Ron, we're getting along. I have to close out the program here. But one thing, it's a constant battle with the antis. Trapping, hunting naturally, but trapping is first in there, in the crosshairs. How do you guys work around, combating that?
Well, we have a good partnership with the New Jersey State Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs. And
there you go.
They're there to support us.
And New Jersey Outdoor Alliance as well. They got to stick together. I remember when they wanted to ban trapping, and I was going around saying, you got to help. Well, we don't trap, so it really doesn't affect us. It will now with these bills to ban baiting and all that stuff. Ron, it's coming full circle. Would you agree?
Yep. They come after everybody.
Listeners, New Jersey Fur Harvesters welcomes all outdoor people to our fall convention in the Pines. Whoa, one last thing, Deal. Is that young fella there with the plastic baits going to be there?
I believe so.
Whoa. I was leaving. I just happened to stop. I saw all these. These are some weird colored worms here, man. Those things were great as well. Deal, I'm going to have to make a withdrawal at the bank. You're killing me, Deal. You're absolutely killing me. Ronnie, one more time with that number, please.
908-783-3090.
This is Convention in the Pines, Saturday, November 2nd and 3rd, McKay's Blueberry Farm, Russ Anderson Boulevard in Chatsworth. beautiful part of New Jersey, and it's going to be a great event. Very, very interesting people. Ron, you take care. Best of all, man. See you next week.
Thanks, Tom.
See you. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out there and enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next weekend.